sports talk to start your week. You're listening to FM Talk 106.5 Sports Night, presented by Jersey Mike's Subs.
This is the minute that millions around the world have waited for. Waited for years. Many doubted we'd ever see it. But here it is. The return to glory.
Here we go. Sports Night FM Talk 106.5. Dalton Orwig and Corey LeBounty in with you on another Monday night. This time the Tiger Woods Masters champion once again. Monday edition of Sports Night. Corey, how you doing?
Outstanding, Dalton. Always a pleasure to join you each and every Monday night on Sports Night.
So we got an early first round of the Masters yesterday with the that rainstorm moving through the southeast. Of course, caused a trail of destruction throughout the southeast. And our thoughts and prayers first go to all those that suffered in storms in Texas, Mississippi. I think they had a storm here in Alabama. But they tried to get the Masters in before then, so something we don't normally see or hardly ever see. They had groups of three that went off starting at, I think, 6:30 in the morning, and Tiger Woods out on the course by 8:40 with the final group, which proved to be very important come the end of the day, as the players in front of his group with Francesco Molinari and Tony Finau, and Tiger Woods in that final group chasing Tiger at the end, and Tiger Woods completing the hero's journey and winning the Masters by one stroke. Coming up later in the show, we're going to talk with Southern Fairways' Randy Bergen. They actually broadcast most of yesterday's Southern Fairways through Tiger's round, so it'll be interesting to get his take on what that was like watching Tiger play as they broadcast Southern Fairways, which you can hear right here on FM Talk 106.5 every Sunday morning from 11 a.m. until 1 p.m. Also coming up in this next segment, football in the air with A-Day over the weekend and South Alabama's red and blue spring game. And we're going to talk to the South Alabama starting quarterback, Cephas Johnson, former Davidson Warrior, now entering his sophomore year with South Alabama as the number one guy behind center as they go into the offseason program. So we'll talk with Cephas next at 7:15 and Randy Bergen at 7:30. But first off, Corey, we got to talk about Tiger Woods, one of the greatest comeback stories in sports history. His first major in 11 years and his first win at Augusta since 2005. Tiger's fifth Masters title in his career and his 15th major tournament title. Now just one green jacket behind Jack Nicklaus for the most Masters wins all time, and three major wins behind Nicklaus for the most major titles of all time, which he's been chasing since he was a kid. And everyone thought that Tiger would easily surpass Nicklaus. He hit that lull in his career, went 11 years without a major, but he's back on the board now.
Yeah, I think one of the most interesting things was in his press conference that he had after winning the Masters. One of the questions that he was asked, he just said, now he's going to have something else for show and tell for his kids, because they were not alive the last time that he had an opportunity to win the Masters. And a couple of interesting honors now for Tiger Woods. I mean, he just captured the hearts and minds of a lot of people across the country yesterday, especially with that early start. But you look at him now, it's going to be recognized with the Presidential Medal of Freedom award by President Donald Trump. A couple of other interesting facts. Nick Saban was the coach of the Miami Dolphins the last time Tiger Woods won. Gus Malzahn was in his final year as the head coach at Springdale High School. And one of the things that makes Tiger Woods just a genius in the game of golf is he was able to answer every single question on what club he used on every single hole to get onto the green. And that just shows, when you're able to recap that holes 1 through 18, Dalton, that's why Tiger Woods' story is second to none right now.
Yeah, no, he's locked in. You could tell he's focused, but there's also stories where he sees everything that's going on. They say that he'll finish a round, a final round like he did yesterday, and he'll go back and tell a buddy, you know, I saw you walking along the fairway on the fourth hole. He's able to remember things like that, kind of like some I guess Aaron Rodgers or Tom Brady
remembering
plays that they ran 13 years ago. But you know, I'm not ashamed. Yesterday, Jim Nantz was talking about it on the call, or actually, I think it was Vern No, it was Jim Nantz on the call yesterday. It might have been Vern Lundquist. Need to go back and check that. I thought it was Jim Nantz, but it might have been Vern Lundquist. But saying, how could you have a dry eye after that? And I know they kept saying Tiger looked 100% locked in and 100% focused. But to me, starting on the 17th hole, once he was on the fairway there on 17, it looked to me like the gravity of the moment was already hitting Tiger. He looked like he was pretty close to tears, even though he never cried afterwards. He didn't cry during his interview with Nantz after the round. But the reason I let off with saying this was a hero's journey, it's like what you see in the movies. I mean, you know how they follow a hero's arc. And this Tiger, you know, golfing prodigy, picked up his club when he was 2 years old. His dad was his mentor there when he was a young kid, and he cared so much about his dad and loved his dad so much. It was evident when he embraced him after his first Masters win in 1997. Turned pro when he turned 20 years old, when he was already kind of like LeBron, the next big thing. Everyone knew that he was going to come in and have a successful career. Little did they know how successful of a career Tiger Woods would have. But between the time that he turned pro and October 2010, Tiger was so dominant that between August 99 and October 2010, he was the top-ranked golfer in the world for all but 9 months. He won a major by 15 strokes. That's how dominant Tiger was. That was like Phelps lapping somebody in the Olympic swimming pool. And Phelps,
speaking of Phelps,
happened to be behind Tiger on the 16th hole when he just put it so close.
Almost aced it.
To the hole. Just an amazing shot. But after Tiger's prodigy, after his early years when he was just completely dominant, you had the fall, which you have in every one of these heroes' journeys. He had the marriage that fell apart in late 2009. Everyone found out that he'd been cheating on his wife. And then not only that, the average person cheats on their wife, and things may come out during divorce proceedings, some embarrassing stuff. They feel awful about it most of the time. Tiger's entire personal life was just completely put out there. Howard Stern was joking about it for years. Everybody was joking about it for years. It was savage. He had the women that he cheated with talking about his personal interactions with them. And then came, of course, the embarrassing Thanksgiving night when his wife Ellen correctly suspected him of cheating, knocked out the SUV's glass that he was running from her with, hit him with a golf club, and that, of course, was all over the national news. And then the back surgeries. He's been in so much pain. He looks like nothing could faze him for years and years and years. And then after his marriage fell apart, the back started acting up on him. He had 4 back surgeries from, I think, 2013 until 2017. 4 back surgeries. And then you just had one of the most major falls from grace of any huge sports name there's ever been. Tiger was the top of the list right there with Michael Jordan and completely fell apart. It looked like he would never get things going again. And then in his late 30s and 40s had the back surgeries. But then once he got back, just about over a year ago, January 18, I think, is when he really started this latest comeback tour. He's getting better and better every week. He's saying the right things in the media. Seems like he has his head on straight. Seems like he's actually genuinely happy for once. He's happy with his life, happy with his family. I'm sure he's still one of the most competitive people alive, but it's not like he used to be. You read some of the stories about how Tiger used to be, and he was not going to lose no matter what. Now he's got at least an outlet off the course, and that's his family, who he embraced following his win yesterday. And with that tap-in bogey on the 18th hole, the hero's journey came completely full circle. Tiger finally won a Masters again. He finally won another major. And then his family sitting there right where he hugged his dad after his first Masters win in 1997. He hugged his son Charlie. He hugged his daughter, hugged his mom, and hugged his girlfriend. And, man, a tear rolled out of my eyes. A tear legitimately rolled out of my eyes, Corey.
One of the greatest sports comeback history in the history of sports that you'll ever hear about, Dalton. And I think that's just what makes it so remarkable. You go from heel, you know, from hero to heel, back to hero again. I like wrestling a lot. And, you know, when the good guys turn bad, you never like to see that. But you always want to see them come and turn back good again. And that's the situation with Tiger, his fall from grace. People still follow the game of golf as long as Tiger was in the hunt. And I tell you what, Tiger Mania is unlike anything other. It makes the other golfers better as well, that type of roar and the type of competition when Tiger brings it. He just paced himself yesterday to position himself in a perfect place after that 12th hole. It was all Tiger.
And we'll talk with Randy Bergen, like I said, at 7:30, and he'll break down some of the detailed stuff of how well Tiger was playing yesterday, not only on the course, because he didn't just dominate like Tiger used to. He used some wily veteran shots that he's learned from and gained over the last 20 odd years of his career. But I think the reason that so many people are so willing to forgive Tiger, and why he gets the loudest cheers out there still, and why everyone at Augusta followed him every hole he went, is because of the past that he had. And there's so many family moments that people have had watching golf. So many stories I've heard today of guys and girls that watched Tiger play when he was young, watched him with their dad. And that's my exact story. I watched Tiger Woods play my entire childhood with my dad right there beside me. And Tiger had his dad right there beside him for a majority of his career. And to see him hug his kid like that after all that he's been through, that's why people were so willing to forgive him. They have all these great moments that were partially provided by Tiger Woods playing as well as he used to and being such a dominant force in golf. It was just an outstanding end to the story, but it's not the end. He's still got three majors to go to catch Jack Nicklaus, and that's where the conversation leads to now, is how long can Tiger play this well, and what kind of tournaments suit him? Because he's not going to be able to play in everything. He can only play in a few. His back is still tight. He's got to figure out how to work around that, but just an outstanding story all the way around. Like I said, we'll talk about the Masters more coming up at 7:30, but coming up on the other side of the break, the starting quarterback for the South Alabama Jaguars, Cephas Johnson, a local boy, went to Davidson High School, now entering his sophomore year, and had a great day during the spring game on Saturday, 10 of 19, 180 yards and a touchdown, and he's got some weapons out there he's throwing to, so we'll ask Cephas all about that and get a preview from him of what he's expecting out of South this coming season. This is Sports Night on FM Talk 106.5. Corey LeBounty and Dalton Orwig, and we're coming right back.
Breaking down the big games and talking about the big names. You're listening to Sports Night on FM Talk 106.5.
You hear that, Corey? Football is back in the air. Spring practice wrapping up all around the nation. You got the A-Day games at Tuscaloosa and Auburn over the weekend. And a spring game right here in our own backyard, the South Alabama Jaguars, as they enter year two with head coach Steve Campbell at the helm, looking to improve on last year's 3-9 record. And got a lot to replace this year, had a lot of players leave, had a lot of players transfer, but they're getting the good guys to stay in there and looking to get better year in and year out. And that starts with the quarterback, who right now is Cephas Johnson, a local guy, played at the Davidson Warriors, some great years in high school football right here in Alabama. And we're joined now by Cephas Johnson. Thanks for joining us tonight, Cephas.
Yes, sir. Thank you for having me.
So, Cephas, you had a good day on Saturday, 10 of 19, 180 yards and a touchdown, and looked like you had quite a few weapons to throw to out there. But more importantly for you and for the team on Saturday, no turnovers. And I know that was probably a big deal with the coaches and with the team throughout spring practice. How much importance do you and your coaches on offense put on making those safe plays and not turning it over to the other side?
Oh, we practiced that a lot throughout the week. You know, Coach Campbell and Coach Enfield, they emphasize that a lot to us, you know, ball security, making the right decision, having two hands over the ball when you're running and getting tackled and everything. They just really want us to make sure that we're doing our jobs and doing the best that we can to protect the ball.
I think one of the biggest things for you, Cephas, is now becoming comfortable with the South Alabama system under first-year head coach Campbell, and then you look at now taking that red shirt year, just having an opportunity just to observe and to see the difference between the high school game and the college game. Yeah. How have things progressed and changed for you in that aspect?
I feel like my red shirt year was very important for me. Like you said, it helped me a lot to just see how the game was and everything like that. Last year, I got to play a little bit, get some experience under my belt, and I feel like that, again, helped me a lot, especially going into the spring, just being much more comfortable with the offense and the players and everything.
You seem, speaking of comfortability, you seem pretty comfortable throwing to your running backs and tight ends on Saturday. You had that early 39-yard touchdown pass to Jalen Tolbert and then some big gains to Zach Crosby and Cameron Taylor out there at the tight end position. What's your comfort level right now with those three guys, and how are you working on developing that trust with the guys that line up on the outside?
We just, during the summer, we plan on, you know, getting together, throwing a lot, getting our timing down, getting our chemistry down, and as far as throwing to the running backs, they were just my check downs. You know, sometimes you'll get just as many yards throwing to your running backs than you will throwing it down to the field to your receivers. And they were just, you know, they were doing their jobs, making a play, made it easy for me.
One of the biggest things for you also is now you have that anchor of returning offensive line play, and that's always important for the quarterback anytime he trusts those big guys in front of us.
Yes, sir.
Talk to us a little bit about your offensive line. I know Troy Thingstad is a returning starter. Also, you have Roy Albritton and Brian Ankerson.
Yes, sir. Oh, yeah. The offensive line, they've gotten much better, especially as the spring progressed. You know, all of them came back, like you said, so they – work well together. They have that team chemistry and everything they need to become successful. And Coach Bang and Coach Campbell, they do an excellent job of just getting them prepared.
Even though last year you took your redshirt year, you were still obviously with the team. You went through spring practice last season and obviously not the outcome that South Alabama wanted with that record last year, but there's roller coaster times like that for every team, and anytime you're entering a new season with a new coach in Steve Campbell, there's going to be some things that are a little bit different. How disappointed was the team as a whole in last year's finish, and did you guys say anything as the season wrapped up? Did you resolve for this to be a better year?
You know, obviously nobody wants to have a record like that, but the main thing, Coach, he pointed out to us, he just wanted us to finish. You know, just that's the main thing, finish strong. It doesn't matter what the record is, what the circumstances are, we're always going to finish and give our best effort. Whatever it is, whatever in front of us, we're going to attack it 110% and do the best of our ability, to the best of our abilities. And after that, that kind of translated over into the offseason, and it really motivated us and pushed us in the weight room and everything like that and heading into spring.
We're talking with Cephas Johnson right now, the starting quarterback for the South Alabama Jaguars, as we go into the summer off-season portion of the program, and they get ready in a few months to get back at it and get ready for the fall schedule.
Cephas, tell us about the excitement about the on-campus stadium. I know that that's just a tremendous asset for the university for recruiting purposes, and to be able to play one of or two of your seasons possibly at your own home field and have that true home field advantage, talk to us about what that's going to mean to the program and yourself.
That's going to be a huge thing, especially for the university and the city. I mean, it's just really cool going up to the fields every day, and you see them building the stadium and adding new things to it, and it's just really cool to see the stadium get built and grow day by day and everything.
I know one of the big things, too, is this August 31st matchup. You do a lot of film study as the quarterback, as a lot of other people do as well, but no one probably spends as much film time as the quarterback does. August 31st, having an opportunity to go to Lincoln, Nebraska, playing a historic team like the Nebraska Cornhuskers. Tell us what you're looking forward to the most on this August 31st game.
Just enjoying it. You know, going out with my teammates, battling, playing hard. I know we're going to do everything we need to do to get prepared for them. You know, Nebraska, they're a really good team, but I think we're going to go up there and do a really good job.
I know you probably spend about 95% of your time with the offense, with your brethren there on the offensive side of the ball, but who right now standing out to you on the defensive side as you practice against them?
Oh, man, so many of those guys. But one of those guys that stand out, probably Jeffrey Wiley on the D-line, Jalen Thompson, and probably Roy Yancey, Nick Mobley at the linebacker position. The defense, they did a great job, but those guys, they kind of stand out really when I just, you know, got to think about it real quick.
Yeah, and to put you on the spot again, give me a couple names. Give me a guy on offense that you think we don't know now, but we'll know his name by the time the end of the season rolls around.
I think Devin Flanoy would do pretty well this season. Devin Flanoy, the tight ends, Cam Taylor, Zach Crosby, I think they'll step up big this year. And in the running back, we got a lot of freshman running backs I think will step up and do a lot of good things.
I know one of that's one of the things that makes it easier for the quarterback when that running game gets going behind those big uglies. You're starting to be able to show that type of versatility and the type of balance that you like as a program. But Cephas, man, I just want to tell you, watching you mature from Davidson, standing and learning in a redshirt freshman situation in South Alabama, now taking the reins like you've done. You're just a tremendous ambassador, not only for your family, but for the University of South Alabama as well.
Yes, sir. I really do appreciate that.
How often are you able to make it out to the old high school, watching practice, or make it to any games on Friday nights?
I'm able to make maybe two or three games. I know last year I went to a couple because my younger brother still plays. But I went to two or three home games. This coming up May, they start spring practice, so I'll definitely be out there in May watching them practice again at this spring game.
Speaking of your younger brother, how interesting and exciting is it to help him along with the process that you've already been through? Because I know he's starting to be recruited, and it's just a process that you're able to watch with him, and he's able to learn from you as well.
It's amazing. It's very cool to watch, to see him go through the recruiting process and everything, you know, doing – basically, I feel like he's doing a little bit better than me in that aspect, but I try to tell him a little, the few things he may need to know here and there, but for the most part, I just want him, you know, to create his own path, have his own journey and everything like that. I don't want to too much influence him on any decision or anything, so I just try to do what I can to help him that way.
Wise words from an older brother right there. Cephas, what do you like to do in your free time? What do you like to do when you get away from the practice field?
I come home, I hang with my brother and my parents. I like to work out and stuff like that, but for the most part, I'm at the house chilling.
That's what I like to hear. That's what I do too, Cephas. We'll leave you with this question. Your main goals personally and as a team for this upcoming 2019 season?
Personally, my goal is just to do whatever I can to help put this team in the best situation to win, whatever I need to do, I'm willing to do it. And for the team, that's just to win every game and just to do the best we can every week.
All right. We appreciate it, Cephas, and hopefully we'll be able to talk to you leading into the season and maybe a couple of times over the course of the season. We really appreciate you coming on Sports Night tonight.
Yes, sir. Thank y'all for having me.
All right, that's Cephas Johnson, starting quarterback right now for the South Alabama Jaguars as he enters his sophomore season. Local kid, you heard him when he's not practicing. He goes home and hangs with the family. Doesn't get much better than that. Sports Night. Oh, yeah, go ahead, Corey.
I agree, Dalt. I mean, again, him having the opportunity to be the number one quarterback heading into the summer, play behind Evan Orth and Cole Garvin a year ago. Just learn from that decision as well. When he got in the game, you saw him continue to get better. I saw him throw his first touchdown pass a year ago. Was very excited about that. So great things coming up for Cephas Johnson.
Yeah, and, the offensive side of the ball, it really wasn't the issue last year for South Alabama. They were able to put up points and put up yardage. The defensive side of the ball looking better on Saturday, but we'll have to use one of these coming Mondays to go a little bit more in depth on what we're looking at from South Alabama as we enter a brand spanking new football season coming up for 2019. Hey, coming up on the other side of the break, we opened talking about Tiger Woods winning the Masters, and we'll go to the man who knows golf better than anyone I know, Randy Bergen with Southern Fairways Radio and Magazine. They got a magazine there too. Check that out for all the great coupons on golfing around our area. But coming back, we'll talk with Randy Bergen about Tiger Woods' just clinic that he put on yesterday in the final round of the Masters in Augusta. This is Sports Night on FM Talk 106.5 with Dalton Warwick and Corey Labounty.
You're listening to FM Talk 106.5 Sports Night with Dalton Orwig and Corey Labounty. Call the show or text your thoughts to 251-343-0106.
Welcome back, FM Talk 106.5 Sports Night. Dalton Orwig and Corey Labounty in with you on this Monday night. Tiger Woods winning the Masters yesterday, 11 years after his last major, 14 years since his last green jacket pickup. And on the line to talk with us about that exactly is Randy Bergen from Southern Fairways Radio, which you can hear right here on FM Talk 106.5 every Sunday morning, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. And Randy, they threw you a curveball Saturday night when they said, due to incoming weather, we're moving up all of the tee times. We're going to go off shotgun start in threesomes, and we ought to be out of here by about 1:30. which is a problem because you guys are out of here at about 1 o'clock.
Well, you know what, Don? First off, hey, thanks for having me on. It's always fun to be with you and Corey at a great, great interview with Cephas. But you're right. You know, I worked all week. I said, man, I'm going to have just a – this will be the best show because this is my most favorite week of the year is the week of the Masters. So I said, I'm going to make this a perfect show. I've got interviews lined up. I've got, I mean, I had everything lined up. And then they threw the curveball. All right? So as we are, as professional as we are, we said, you know what? This is a free-for-all. We'll just do a play-by-play of the Masters. Mm-hmm. So it really was a lot of fun. We had a great time, no doubt. And congratulations to Tiger. There is that was, I don't know how you guys were. I know how I was. What Tiger has done for the game of golf, and we'll talk a little bit about it, I'm sure, but what Tiger has done for the game of golf and going 11 years. I was at that 2008 U.S. Open at Torrey Pines when he won there against Rocco. But to see him do what he has done, is a game changer for golf, okay? And we've needed Tiger. They talk about how Tiger moves the needle. Let me tell you, Tiger is the needle, okay? And man, what a great win for him and a great win for golf.
You mentioned earlier that the Masters, your favorite tournament to watch, and I have a feeling that Tiger feels the same way. I think Augusta is where he made his first comeback after that first fall from grace. He felt comfortable enough at Augusta to come back and tee it up again. And obviously it means so much to him after the embrace with his dad in 1997 after that Masters win. And the players were talking about it after the round. I mean, you had Koepka, you had Molinari, you had Cantlay, all of them say the Tiger effect is real. And a lot of those guys haven't been able to feel it. But what is it that's so special about Augusta for not only Tiger Woods, but everybody that loves to watch PGA Tour golf?
Well, I think, first off, it's the first major of the season, but more importantly, it is Augusta National, okay, with all the tradition that is there at Augusta National, and you go all the way back to Bobby Jones, them starting this, and you see all the great players, you know, Jack Nicklaus, Arnold Palmer, the list goes on. And for Tiger to come in 1997 and win this, and then now pick up his fifth jacket, it is, there's just something, and if you've never been to Augusta National, I will tell you, guys, it is it's spiritual. It really is spiritual because when you walk through that gate, it is like the horns, the angels' horns are barking down to you. I mean, the light comes on. It is unbelievable, the grounds there at Augusta National. But I think for most golfers and for most of these players, they know that you play the same course each year, and it's not an easy course. You have to strategize how you want to play this. But you know, you talk about the guys that were there to greet him. Listen, those guys were, most of those that you saw, with Bernard Langer with being the exception, those guys were ones that grew up idolizing Tiger Woods, and now they're his friend. And look at what he has done for the purses for all of these golf tournaments. Now, that purse yesterday was an $11 million purse. Okay, that's insane. All right, and these guys know because of Tiger, they're making more money.
And I think, speaking of Langer, I think he was the only guy that was in the field yesterday that was also in the field in Tiger's first Masters win back in 1997, which I would have thought Phil would have been in that field. But Langer, one of the only ones there, and I think Langer is 63 years old now.
And let me tell you, Bernard Langer has been doing great out on the Champions Tour. There is no doubt. We just saw him a couple of weeks ago at Fallen Oak over in Biloxi for the Rapiscan Classic. And here's a guy that is just, he's ageless, man. I mean, in his own right, he is doing everything on the Champions Tour and continuing to win. But you're right. He was there for Tiger in 1997. And you mentioned Phil. Listen, Phil came out, and I don't know if you got to see his tweet Saturday morning about his drive up to Magnolia, how cool that was, and his
awesome
little bet against against Matt Kuchar. But listen, these guys are all, they're all very aware of Tiger. And you know, you want to say Tiger's back, and he's been real close. Last year he got real close. It was time. It was time, and I don't think it could have been placed any better, and what a great place for him to get it and to get that fifth green jacket at the Masters, just one away from Jack Nicklaus. When you look at his list of wins right now, guys, he's only one win away from tying Sam Snead, who has 82 career victories, now Tiger with 81. It's crazy.
I mean, you look at his career, 22 years ago at the age of 21, he became the youngest Masters champion ever. And at 43, he's the second oldest, only behind Jack Nicklaus. But a couple of things, Randy, when you're talking about the game of golf, you mentioned the 08 win at the U.S. Open. Tiger did that on a torn ACL. He's come back from a torn ACL, neck surgery, sprained MCL, Achilles injury, and a back injury. Any one of those are going to be fatal for a good golfer, much less an elite and great golfer who goes out there and does it for a living.
You know, Corey, and that is a great point, because there are a lot of folks that would have given up. Okay, I'm just not going to play anymore. I can't get out there. But his work ethic has gotten him back to that. His wanting to win has gotten him back to that point. And I don't know if you've noticed over the last year, the way Tiger handles people, the way he handles the press, is a lot different than it used to be. Okay, if you didn't like Tiger, he probably wouldn't really care, but now he cares. I think he cares if you like him or not. And you almost, hey, listen, I gotta tell you, and Dalton, I was with you, I'm sitting here saying, man, is that a tear that just rolled down my eye? You know, I mean, it was a little shaky for me, I got to be honest with you, because what Tiger has done and coming back from those type of injuries is just completely insane. Tell me someone else in another sport that's been able to do that and have this type of success. I think you'll be hard to find someone.
Yeah, and I think the injuries and his off the course events that he's had in his life with the marriage and the DUI, I think it's truly humbled him. If you look at how he, like you mentioned, how he treats other golfers and how he treats media and fans now, but also over the years, he's gained something that he didn't have 22 years ago, even when he was dominating everybody, and that's experience now. And I think there were two shots in particular yesterday that really put this green jacket back on Tiger's shoulders, and that was on the both of them par three shots on 12, when Molinari led by two shots and led off on the 12th hole and put it in the water, and Tiger came up right behind him and stuck a 9-iron right in the middle of the green on the left side. Of course, he went on to par that, and I think he tied for the lead at that hole. And then coming a little bit later in the round, on the 16th hole, another par three, where after DeChambeau and after Thomas holed it, Tiger came so close to acing that hole, becoming the third guy of the day, but that led to his lead-tying birdie putt. He's got more experience in Augusta than just about anybody that was out there. How much do you think his experience played into that win yesterday?
Hey, Dalton, that's a great question, because I believe it played everything, okay? He knew on 12 when they went in the water, man, let's not go for that pin. Let's just go over the sand trap, get it on the green. Let's two-putt for a par, and that will be a two-shot swing right there. And it certainly was. It worked out right. Whenever he hit that shot on 16, it almost went in. He knows he's got a birdie. He can pretty much start coasting into number 18, but let's not forget Koepka on 18. If he makes that birdie, it becomes a little interesting at that point, but he missed it. He made par, and all Tiger had to do is really get up and have a two-putt to win the tournament. He pretty much knew it at that point, but, you know, the thing, his experience there certainly played a whole lot more than those guys and Brooks Koepka. And you can't, hey, listen, don't take anything away from a list of guys that played extremely well. Dustin Johnson, who shot a 68, he shot 4 under. I mean, Xander Schauffele, he shot 4 under. Brooks Koepka, 2 under. Jason Day came from way back, he shot 5 under to try to get in there. And what a bunched up leaderboard that was. And man, it could have gone in a lot of different ways. Okay, if Tiger makes one little mistake, it could it'd have been interesting to see, but I'm glad Tiger won.
All through the weekend, I can't remember ever seeing a leaderboard like that. I mean, you had 4 tied in first place, you had 5 tied in second, just absolutely stacked and packed. How would you rate Tiger's competition now? All these kids that grew up watching Tiger play, who played golf because of Tiger, how would you rate his competition now to the late 90s and early 2000s when he was dominating?
Well, let's just look, okay? Whenever you look at Tiger, back whenever he started, only he and Vijay Singh were the ones really working out. If you go through that whole list under him, Dustin Johnson, Xander Schauffele, Brooks Koepka, Jason Day, Webb Simpson, all these guys, okay? John Rahm, Patrick Cantlay, Ricky Fowler, all these guys are working out and doing what Tiger was doing way back then. So for me, and this was a question that I asked yesterday, was is great, and listen, I think Jack Nicklaus is the GOAT, okay? There is no doubt. But, hey, at what point does Tiger become the GOAT? Because all of these folks are following in his footsteps, and it has changed. All these guys are good. I mean, when they say on the commercials, these guys are good, they are all very good. And I think it's because of what Tiger has done for the game of golf, not taking anything from Jack, taking anything from Arnie. But because of Tiger, these guys have made golf a whole lot better. I don't think there's any question about it, Dalton.
And you can see the respect they have for him by the group of guys waiting outside of the clubhouse as he walked from the 18th into the clubhouse following yesterday's round. We're talking with Randy Bergen, Southern Fairways Radio. You can hear it on Sunday mornings right here, FM Talk 106.5, starting at 11 a.m. You can also follow Southern Fairways on Twitter at SOU Fairways Golf, Southern Fairways Golf.
Tiger was ranked 780th in the world golf ranking after the 2017 Masters, and now you look at him, he's definitely going to vault himself back into the top 10. But look at the sponsorship opportunities. You had Nike, who stuck along with him, and how happy is Nike right now that they didn't drop him and they held on to him when companies like AT&T, Accenture, Gatorade, and Gillette all dropped Tiger after his fall from grace?
Well, and that, you know, that there you go. I mean, Nike maybe knew something that we didn't know. We all know that there's a lot of things that can happen in sponsors. Hey, I don't want to, whether it's political, whether it's personal, whatever. You lose sponsors from time to time. But for Nike to stay with them, man, that says a great deal. And let me just mention that Bridgestone, picking Bridgestone up as the golf ball for Tiger Woods. By the way, Bridgestone is the official golf ball and glove for our show, Southern Fairways Golf Show.
Coincidence?
could it be? I think that listen, for Nike to do what Nike has done is no doubt. Listen, Corey, they know he's a money machine. Whether it's good, bad, or indifferent, there's money going in their pocket when they see that Nike swoosh on Tiger.
Well, we had to have about a 10-year break, but the conversation starts again now. You mentioned him earlier. One win from tying Sam Snead's all-time PGA Tour wins record. One green jacket from tying Jack Nicklaus for most Masters wins. And three majors from tying Jack for the most majors all-time. Do you think he gets to him, and how long do you think it takes, Randy?
Yeah, you know what? That's a great, great question—a $6 million question. By the way, I think I heard that you had a little odds on Tiger. I threw a little nickel out there myself. So thank you, Tiger. I appreciate that. I'll be heading over to Biloxi soon. Listen, I think that Tiger certainly now, I think he's got that taste back. He can taste it. Can he get to 18? It's going to be a little tough at 43 years old, okay? And when you mentioned a few moments ago about all the guys beneath him right now, this is a very strong field. You look at the top 125 golfers in the world, and any of them could win at any point in time at any tournament. So for him to go out and win three more, it's going to be tough. I would think if we had to put a time frame on it, it's going to happen sooner than later, because he needs to do it within the next probably 24 months. Can he do it? I hope he can for the game of golf. I hope he can. I really can.
And
I really do.
Good news for Tiger, too. The majors that are coming up are two places where he's won before. He got Bethpage Black and Pebble Beach this year. Tiger could be in contention there, too. So it should be just an outstanding couple of years with Tiger back on top of the golf world.
Well, you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. Now, the next one will be at Pebble Beach, as you mentioned. And let's not forget another old guy, okay? Phil Mickelson just won there earlier in the year at the AT&T. So he's going to be vying for another major that he needs to get to wrap up the Grand Slam right there at the U.S. Open, happening at Pebble Beach in just a little bit.
All right, Randy. Well, we really appreciate you coming on with us and talking golf. One of the best moments in golf history, sports history, that I've ever seen.
No doubt.
Live and in person, and it's been great to be able to break it down with you.
No, hey, no doubt. Thank you. Hey, thanks, Corey. Thanks, Dalton. As always, man, y'all do a great job. Keep up the great work, and we'll talk real soon.
All right, Randy Bergen, Southern Fairways Golf Radio. You can hear it right here, FM Talk 106.5, every Sunday morning at 11. And by the way, their podcast, if you missed their show at all, we upload that to fmtalk1065.com. Just click the Sports and Outdoors tab and scroll down to Southern Fairways Golf. It is right above Sports Night's podcast. And I know that because I load those podcasts to the page. So check out yesterday's. Pretty cool to go back and listen to them live as Tiger makes his way towards that fifth green jacket. All right, we'll come back and wrap up Sports Night right here on FM Talk 106.5. Corey was able to make it out to the A-Day game in Tuscaloosa over the weekend. I was able to make it to my couch where I watched that exact game and the Auburn A-Day game as well. So we'll break those down and take a look at Alabama and Auburn as we head into a brand spanking new football season. This is Sports Night on FM Talk 106.5 with Dalton Orwig and Corey LeBounty.
Sports talk to start your week. You're listening to FM Talk 106.5 Sports Night.
Been a fantastic and fun hour of Sports Night on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks again, Randy Bergen, Southern Fairways Golf Radio, for breaking down the Masters. Tigers' big win yesterday. Also, thank you to Cephas Johnson, the now starting quarterback for the South Alabama Jaguars. Looking forward to having Cephas on again, and hopefully he has a successful year, a successful final year at Ladd Peoples Stadium as they ready that Hancock-Whitney Stadium on the campus of South Alabama. And South did have their spring day game on Saturday. So did Alabama, and so did Auburn. It was a battle of the A-Day games. As we're used to now down here in the South, they play on the exact same day. Luckily for me, have ESPN Plus and was able to go back and check out both of them after the fact, because you know I was watching Masters while they were playing. But Corey, you got to check out A-Day in Tuscaloosa live in person. Your thoughts on, first off, the crowd, because Nick Saban, year in and year out, you could have the most rabid fans show up, and I know they do that run into the state. Is that during the spring day game that they run into the stadium, or is that for another?
It's free seating, so you can sit wherever you want to. So when the gates open, you do have a lot of fans that do come running in. But they definitely, after the game's over and it's time for autographs for the fans, and all of them come running in because you're just trying to get to Coach Saban or the players as quick as you can. So they bombard the field after the game.
How fired up were the fans? Are you feeling a little bit of apathy at this point after year in and year out being into the conversation? I know it sounds ridiculous, but it can get stale, just like anything. Eating cake every day can get old after a while. Winning all the time can get old after a while. And, of course, they're coming off that heartbreaking pounding that Clemson gave them at the end of last year. How'd the fans feel?
I think the announced attendance was at 63,000. I personally don't think there was over 40,000 there. The weather was bad prior to the day before, and there was a lot of rain. I say a lot of rain. The rain came heavy and quickly during the game, so that kind of drove the crowd and kept the crowd away. But other than that, I mean, when you look at the biggest news of the A-Day game, it was Nick Saban's post-game conference, news conference, when he was telling everybody that he's going to have a hip procedure done. Didn't really go into detail about that. So Coach Saban said maybe 6 to 8 weeks of recovery there for him. Not a lot of golf going to be played. Mac Jones did a pretty good job throwing the football for the white team, 19 out of 23 for a couple of touchdowns. And you look at Tua Tagovailoa, he had a pretty good day too, 19 out of 37 for 265 yards and a touchdown. But the running game was what you really did not get a chance to see a lot of, and that's what Coach Saban was disappointed at the most. Najee Harris, 9 rushes for 25 yards. Brian Robinson Jr., 11 rushes for 44 yards.
Yeah, and two things on the running game, because obviously that was the weakest part of Saturday's scrimmage. But first off, look at who they're playing against. The top run defense in the nation. I mean, Alabama is always stout against the run, and that's exactly who the starting offense was going against, was that starting defense. But secondly, on the offensive line, I mean, they're replacing two All-Pros there in Jonah Williams and Ross Pierschbaker. I think also who was out with an injury? Jedrick Wills had the ankle injury. So three of your starting five from last season were already out. And another guy got injured during the game and left during the game. I can't remember who that was. I can't remember. No, it's escaped me now. But you didn't have the whole starting five out there, and that's a pretty important part when you're trying to gel. It takes more than just 15 spring practices to come together and open up those holes.
I know they're looking forward to the beginning of August so they can actually get after it. Now they're getting the weight room, just trying to get and work on things within their body to be physically ready for August, because it'll be here before you know it. You look on the other side of things for Auburn. I know Chandler Wooten went down, injured his knee on A-Day, and that was a huge. But Bo Nix, the early enrollee for the Auburn Tigers, him and Joey Gatewood both had good Saturdays and threw the football very well for Auburn.
Womack was who I was trying to remember. Okay. For Alabama, they got injured. But you're right, at Auburn, it was all about the quarterbacks. Bo Nix looks outstanding, and the quarterback competition is the good kind of quarterback competition you want, because you've got two guys that could easily go out right now, it looks like, and start on Saturdays, and they're both so young, you're going to get at least 2 years out of both of them, maybe 1 year out of Gatewood, I think, because he's a redshirt freshman. Gatewood had a great day, and he's got that Cam Newton look to him. He can sling the ball down the field, but also 6'5", 237 pounds. He could run, and a great competition setting up between those two. I'm wondering, with 1 year in the program, how much Malzahn is going to put experience ahead of Bo Nix's apparent ability at quarterback, because Gatewood's been with the system and he can run those RPOs maybe a little bit quicker than Nix can right now.
It's going to be interesting to see. That's a great problem to have, because I saw Bo Nix at Pinson Valley, and of course his daddy being Stan Nix, the great quarterback at Auburn. So that's a situation that you want to have, that type of problem. It's a good problem to have, just like a year ago, Tagovailoa and Jalen Hurts. Good problem to have for Coach Saban, but you flip it over for Auburn, they got to get that running game going to be successful.
Yeah, but the more I look at this Tigers team, man, the more I like it. Returned so many people on defense, lots of upperclassmen. The receivers really showed out on Saturday. I think we're looking at two great teams in Alabama once again this coming year. That does it. Sports Night, FM Talk 106.5, Car Show with Tom Claxton and Kevin Raywinkle coming up next.